Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Young Israel Passaic Clifton. Hope all is well. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights to the Daf series. Today's Daf is Brachos Daf Test. This year is going to be learned L'Nishmas, my grandfather, Olav Shalom, Shmuel Yehuda ben Ruvain, who's your Yortzeit today, as well as Erez's father, from Shalom ben Shalom et Salma, may the Neshamos have an Aliyah. The topic is Smichus Ge'ula L'Tfila, making the connection. So Gemara tells us on the bottom of Brachos Daf Tesimut Beis, when we're introduced to the new Mishnah and discussing what exactly is the time that one is allowed to begin Kriya Shema from, the Gemara quotes a whole bunch of different, brings a brisa which quotes a whole bunch of different time periods in addition to the Mishnahs between Techeles Lelavan and Techeles Lekarsi. And the Gemara finally brings down in the brisa the Acherim who say this year is Mishiakir's Chaveru Berichuk Dalin Amos, could recognize your friend a distance of 4 Amos. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Halacha Kacherim, the Halacha follows the Acherim. Amar Abayi, Letfilin Kacherim. Abayi says, however, though, this only is by Tfilin. But Lekriya Shema Kevasikim, when it comes to Kriya Shema, really the best time to daven Shema is not at Mishiakir, but the Vasikin, which we're going to see is the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vasikin Hayugomen Osa. Im Hanetzachama, the Vasikin, those who the Mefarshim say are very careful and interested in doing mitzvahs at the best opportune time, they complete saying Shema with Netzachama, which is sunrise. Tanya Mihachi, the Brisa that also supports this. Vasikin Harigorim Rosayim Hanetzachama, those who are Vasikin would finish Shema with the sunrise. Kadesha Yismok Geula Latvila, in order that you should merge and connect Geula, Kriya Shema, which speaks about our redemption from Mitzrayim, L'tfila, Shmona Esrei, V'nimtza, and the result is, Mispalo Bayom, we're going to be davening during the day. So the Gemara teaches us that Vasikin would, and still, recite Shema right before Netzachama. Even though many Rishonim, including Tosos, the Talbini, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, say that L'chachila, preferably, the Zman of Kriya Shema begins at Mishiyakir, which is any time between an hour to 55 minutes before sunrise. Why is it so? The best time to daven shacharis is by nates. And for that reason, it's okay to push off the recitation of Shema almost an hour, sometimes to 45 minutes later, for the purpose of what? Saying Shemona Esrei, the optimal time, and being somech ge'ula l'tfila, connecting our Shema with Shemona Esrei. There is a big milo we see, therefore, it's a big attribute to connecting ge'ula l'tfila. What's the makor or the source of this? So Rashi, back on Daf Dalet, we're introduced to the topic for the first time, tells us that we see a hint to it in Sefer Tehillim. In Sefer Tehillim, we finish with Perek Yotess, and Perek Yotess, which is, of course, we know our Shemona Esrei does eventually now contain 19 brachos. But even though the 19th bracha was added later on, since the Gemara does find a smach or source for the 19th bracha, we view it as if it is that's the optimal to recite the 19 brachos. So we have a source for the 19 brachos. And therefore, the end of the 19th chapter of Tehillim starts with the word, ends with the words, Yiyud ratzonim reifi, ve'agyon libi lefanecha. May the words of my mouth be for acceptance, and the thoughts of my heart be before you. Hashem, Tzuri, my rock, the goli, my redeemer. And right after, we start Perek Lamed, Perek Chaf, sorry, which for the words, Lamatzeach Mizmor LeDavid, which, again, we're not going to use that as a drasha because that's a very common beginning to many chapters of Tehillim. But the next words are, Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara, Hashem will answer you on your day of difficulty. So we see that, again, you're saying the words, Hashem Tzuri the Goali, Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara, there is our connection making Somech Geula Latfila. Now, what's the reasoning behind Smichas Geula Latfila? So the Kilas Yaakov, the Stiper Gon, it's brought down in his name that he raised the following Hakira, or thought out question, in terms of how do we understand this concept? What exactly is the nature or the reason for this? And the Stipler says the following. On one hand, one could say Geula is an enhancement of the Tefillah. In other words, when one speaks about the Geula and the wonderful miracles that Hashem did during the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it helps increase our emunah and reinforces the belief that Hashem is able to do anything to help us. from the fact that we look back against Yetzias Mitzrayim, where Hashem changed nature to do so many amazing miracles, we realize that, you know what, the same Hashem who did that is the same Hashem who we're about to dive into now. Doing this now enhances our tefillah, provides the reinforcement that we need to dive into Hashem, which is why we proceed our tefillos with Geula. So, on this hand, looking at it this way, we see that reciting Shemona Esrei, reciting Shema before, is a way to go ahead and to enhance our tefillah. On the other hand, though, we can say that the tefillah is a way of enhancing the geula. Because how would you look at it like this? What's the purpose of having redemption if it doesn't lead to acknowledging Hashem? The fact is, whenever we recite a geula, whenever we recite something that has to do with geula, so then it should also be recited with a tefillah afterwards. Okay? The tefillah that we pray enhances our description of the geula. Now, as we say often, chakiros and different ways to view a problem are wonderful theoretical ideas. But, as I heard a quote in the name of Sobolovsky, without bringing a practical nafkamina between the two or a practical difference between the sides, what you have is a nice philosophical idea. However, if we do see a nafkamina or a difference, then the idea not only becomes philosophical, but also becomes a concrete, tangible entity using to help understand the halacha. Now, what would a nafkamina be between the two reasons? That whether either geula is there to enhance our tefillah, or the tefillah is there to complement the geula. So nafkamina would be, what happens if one dominates a tefillah that serves a rishus, such as ma'ariv? What do I mean? The Gemara in the fourth parak brings down a machlokas tanoim as to whether ma'ariv is a rishus, an optional, or a chovah, or something which is obligatory. Now, we happen to pass, and that's a rishus. So you might stop for a second and say, well, then why do we daven ma'ariv in the first place? So Tosfos already in the fourth parak tells us that Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves the obligation to daven. But however, in its pure form, ma'ariv is a rishus, and the nafkamina that we have today, the fact that ma'ariv is a rishus, is by the sense that we don't have chazar sashatz after ma'ariv. Chazar sashatz was there, is instituted originally to help emotzi those who don't know how to daven. And what happened is, since there is no objective chiyuv to be davening ma'ariv, even though we accept it upon ourselves, and there still is the concept of tashlum, and you can still make up mincha by davening ma'ariv twice, and you still make up ma'ariv by davening shakras twice, it's all considered to be part of that same idea, that same day. Nonetheless, we don't have a chazar sashatz. So we see that ma'ariv is a rishus. So it would come down from this, that if you hold that the geula is there to enhance our tefillah, it would make no difference if the tefillah is a chova or a rishus. The bottom line is, once you're davening, you need to frame your davening in the context of the geula. However, if you're going to say tefillah is there to enhance your geula, then in the case where the tefillah is optional, there's no need to be somech geula the tefillah. In fact, Tosos and Daf Dalet Amud Beis writes that even those who say ma'ariv is rishus is going to require to be one to be somech geula the tefillah for that reason above. So let's review this. So what the nafkamina would be is, if you're going to be holding, the question is, what do we say the halacha would be in terms of being required to be somech geula tefillah at night? So if you're going to say that what it's a din in the geula, that the geula needs to have a tefillah after it, well, it would only need to have a tefillah afterward if that tefillah is required. If that tefillah is not required, you wouldn't have to have it afterward. But if you're going to say that it enhances your tefillah every time that you daven, you should proceed with a geula. So you're right, if you're not going to daven, you don't need to have a geula before. But once you're davening, it's a din in the davening that you're supposed to have it. So that would be a nafkamina as to whether in this chakira, and again, smichus geula the tefillah, is it there to enhance the tefillah, or is it there to enhance the geula? A further question by the Rishonim on this topic of being somech geula tefillah and the ramifications is, what happens when the chazan recites the bracha of Gal Yisrael? We know that, of course, every time that you hear a bracha, you're supposed to answer amen. However, we also know that when it comes to hearing a bracha, we have to answer amen. However, amen, as important as it is, does constitute a hefsek, doesn't constitute an interruption. And if one would recite amen between hearing Gal Yisrael And starting Shemona Esrei, there is a possibility, there is a potential that that might be a hefsek, and you're not going to be somech gula l'tefillah. So it turns out that there happens to be a mechaber, a machlokas between the mechaber and the Ramban, Shulchan Aruch, on this point. And the mechaber says that if you hear this bracha of Gal Yisrael from the Chazan, you shouldn't respond. You don't say Amin. The Ramban says you could say Amin. Interestingly, a minhag is developed, brought down by several poskim and several achronim, that the Chazan has the practice of saying Baruch Atah Hashem out loud, and then the Gal Yisrael ends quietly. They say this was a practice in Kletz by Rav Aaron Kotler. Some of the yeshivas had this too, not only in some of the other German communities and such. So here, look what's happening. It seems that we have somewhat of a potential solution to the problem, because the Chazan is saying the words Baruch Atah Hashem. He's not answering Gal Yisrael, so you don't have to say Amin, so we don't get into the question. And any way you look at it, we could be so mekula tefillah. However, the Shevet Halevi, Rav Rosner, brings down that there are people who frown upon this practice for two reasons. What's one reason? First, the Chazan recites brachos to be motzi the tzibur. And a Chazan who mends quietly can't help others who can't recite the bracha fulfill their obligation. So you're missing out on that aspect. The second aspect is, and more pertinent to today, where most people are not yotzi with the Chazan, as most people who daven are able to daven by themselves, it's an affront to the bracha. That is to say, without concluding the bracha out loud, we're not moving forward and acknowledging that important Shevach Hashem, that important Shevach or praise of Hashem, that he is the Gal Yisrael in Hebrew context. So it's for this reason that the Mishnah Berurah actually brings down a compromise. And the compromise that the Mishnah Berurah brings down is that one should say the bracha along with the Chazan. So when the Chazan goes, Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. So on one hand here you have the Chazan completing the bracha, and we're not reciting part of it quietly. For those who need to be Yotzei, they can be Yotzei. In terms of those who are concerned about being an affront to the bracha, there's no affront to the bracha. And as far as a shayla about answering Amen, that's not going to happen because you don't make an Amen on your own bracha. So if you're saying the bracha along with the Chazan, you're not going to have that problem because you wouldn't make Amen to your own bracha as well. It's for this, okay, so the Gemara brings down another question later on. And the Gemara says, regarding this idea of being Someh Ke'ula L'Tefillah, the Gemara has a question, Heichi Matzi Someh. Let's say we brought the idea. We explained a Makar. We explained a possible nature of it. Is it Ge'ula for Tefillah, or is it Tefillah for Ge'ula? We brought down the Shaila about Gal Yisrael and how we can do it. But now we have another question, how can we do it? The Gemara asks, Heichi Matzi Someh. How could he be Someh Ke'ula L'Tefillah? V'amar Rav Yochanan. Doesn't Rav Yochanan say, but chila hu omer, before davening you say, Hashem svasai tivtach, uvasof hu omer, yihul ratzonim refi, and when you conclude davening you should say, yihul ratzonim refi, so therefore, how could you be somech ke'ula l'tefillah? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, tebit tefillah shel arvis, so you know what, we'll say this is only at night, when it's a rishus. So the Gemara says, you can't say that, Amar Rav Yochanan, yizu ben olam haba zemo, zogeh somech ke'ula tefillah shel, sorry, somech ke'ula shel arvis, but tefillah shel arvis, we have an idea that if you're going to be holding the idea of gula tefillah, it's going to be at night as well. So elam Rav Elazar tehi betefillah se mincha. So Rav Elazar says, when we don't say it, that's going to be mincha time. In other words, mincha time, we won't have the concept of gula tefillah. Everywhere else, we're not going to say Hashem svasai tivtach. However, Rav Ashi says, no. Afilo ema kulu. Since we could even say that Hashem svasai tivtach and yudor tzon refi is said everywhere. The Chayvin de Kavua Rabbanan betfilah, since the Rabbanan established this as part of the davening, Kitfilah arich de damya, it's considered to be one long tefillah. Well, how far do we take this? So Shaila was brought down that Rav Zilberstein brings, and Rav Zilberstein asked the following question. He says, Maisa be'echot shebalav geis ha'knesses tefillah sarvis. There was a person who was walking into shul during Ma'ariv. U'matzes ha'tzibur omei l'haschil shemona esrei. And as he came in, he saw the tzibur davening shemona esrei, with the halacha being, hiskel gami mahim. Obviously, we don't encourage it, that people should walk in by Shimon Esrei. But if a person who walks in Shimon Esrei at Ma'ariv time, the first thing he does is, he davens Ma'ariv, he davens the tefillah Shimon Esrei, and then afterwards he says Shema, because, as you can see over here, you don't really need to be so mekul with tefillah Ma'ariv, because it's a reshus, kind of actually shedding light at what we said before, but we're not going to bring that down. Anyways, what happens is this though. He starts, Yomar Hashem's Fasai. Lefeta, suddenly, Shaman Shebecheder Acher Maslim is Palil Tfilas Arbis Mibrichos Kriyat Shema. I guess this was a shul with different minyanim, like a Shtibulach type of place. And he hears from the next room, somebody saying V'hu Rachum. And he quickly wants to run and catch Marv on time. Well, at least that's somewhat of a Milah. At least he's not going to say, you know, listen, I came at the end. I'll get the 5 minutes of Marv and I'll be okay. The question is, though, Ha'im Rashi Lahafsik Achar Pasuk Zeh? Is he allowed to stop after this Pasuk? And then to daven Shema and Shemon Esrei, because while the truth is we do paskin that Tefillah B'Tzibur is extremely important, and it would trump Gula Tefillah in this case, if you have the option to do both, namely go next door and do the whole Ma'ariv, have Gula Tefillah and do Tefillah B'Tzibur, why wouldn't you? So Rav Zilberstein says that the whole question is what does it mean that when we say this is tefillah arichta dami? Does it mean that this pasuk has become a chelik of Shemona Esrei? Or do you say it's not per se part of Shemona Esrei? Or it just happens to be, it's not a hefsik because it's introduction to the tefillah, but it's not part of tefillah itself. Obi the nafkamina, who cares whether it's part of Shemona Esrei or it's just an introduction which is not going to serve as a hefsek. This case, Bedafka, is going to be the difference. And what is this going to be the difference? Because let's say you started Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. If you're going to hold that Hashem Sfasai Tiftach is part of Shemon Esrei, well, then you can't stop. For the same reason, you wouldn't stop in the middle of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avos, saying, oh, let me stop and go next door to say V'hu Rachum. Obviously, you're not going to do that. Year two, you wouldn't do that either. However, if you're going to say it's just an introduction, and when the Gemara says, it's Kegula Arichta Dami, it means it's just not a hefsek, but it's not an actual chelik of Shemona Esrei, so then you would be able to do it. Your Zilberstein comes and brings a raya from, brings a makar from the Be'er Halacha, and he says the Eif Shel Hafsik, you can't do it. Finally, one last point on Geula Latfila. The Gemara says, Hey, Rabbi Yossi ben Elyakim, Mishum Kehala Kadisha de Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yossi ben Elyakim testified in the name of the holy congregations in Yerushalayim, Kol HaSomech Tefila Geula Latfila, Eino Nizo Kol Yom Kulo. Somebody who is so nefkula the tefillah will have no harm occur to him during the entire day. Now, obviously, this Gemara bears a question because, unfortunately, we see people sometimes go through rough experiences during the day when there is smichus gula the tefillah. There were people who were injured or, unfortunately, killed during 9/11 who went to Minyan that day or daven that day. There are people who get into car accidents. There are people who get sick or have heart attacks who daven. So how are you telling me that if somebody goes ahead and davens and is so mechgul with tefillah, they're not going to be damaged? So Tosus brings down that he says this is bedavka people davening vasikin, that people who are davening vasikin, they're not going to be harmed. But again, if you look around, I wish it was true 100%, but it is possible that somebody who davens vasikin, and especially you put this time of the year when vasikin is in the sevens, basically any 7 o'clock minyan these time of the year is going to be davening vasikin. I hope everything is okay, but what happens if something happens to a person, chas v'shalom? How do we fit this in with the Gemara? So the truth of the matter is, I think it's important to understand what does it mean exactly to be damaged. Chovos Halavavos, as we've been learning with Rabbi Glasser, brings down that real bitachon means that, in Shara Bitachon, brings down that real bitachon means that you understand that everything that happens to you is for the best. It's part of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan is. And when a person believes that no matter what happens, even something that's going to be bad, even though something's going to be difficult, it's still part of a plan. Let's say, for example, somebody gets sick. So there are reasons. There are cheshbonos. We don't know the cheshbonos. We might understand the cheshbonos. And we might not like the cheshbonos. That's fine. We don't have to like it. We don't have to understand it. But and one of the challenges that a person has in a difficult time to their bitachon is accepting it, coping with it, and dealing with it. When a person takes the ideals of geul l'tfila and realizes that, you know what, there was a geul in the world, just like in Mitzrayim, there was geula. Even though there was suffering, there was difficulty, there was an end and there was a purpose. So a person will take and say, you know something, whatever happens to me, even though, yes, it might lead to some objective harm or some objective damage, chas v'shalom, something might happen that's not pleasant, chas v'shalom. Nonetheless, when a person is at the level of emunah that he internalizes from the idea of geula l'tefila, happens is he's not going to view anything as being harm. He's not going to view anything as damage because he's going to be with the mindset, be'ezus Hashem, from internalizing the lesson of Kriya Shema and the davening, that called Mada Avid Rachman Latav Avid, everything Hashem does is good. And with that, he's going to view his things as happening as not a harm, but part of a plan, part of a step that he could accept. And there, that's what we can justify the fact that the Gemara says that while a person does Gula the Tefillah, suffers no harm, while there might be things which objectively, on the surface, might be bad, qualitatively, Bali B'tachon believe it's going to be good, that lesson coming from Geula the Tefillah should stick with us, Be'ez Hashem, throughout our days. Kol Tov.